is Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. And it's a great honor to have you on.
Next on News for the Soul, it's time for the Not Too Late Show with Miche Meisner. Miche is an inspirational humorist, an alchemical wizard, and a healer's healer. Gifted with psychic abilities, sharp insight, loving nature, and lots of study, she brings light to the planet through multiple modalities. Get ready for today's wisdom and woo. Here's Miche.
I think you maybe have to agree to it or something. Yeah. Hey, folks, welcome to the Not Too Late Show. This is Miche Meisner, your host, transformational coach and mentor, healer, and master spoon bender. And today, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me back up for a minute. The Not Too Late Show is about the idea that it's never too late to show up, you know, in your power, to discover your genius, to change careers, to find something new that you love to do, or a new mission in life, or just, maybe just start really loving yourself if you haven't figured that one out yet. So whatever you're looking to do, you're just in good time. Just right now is right. And with me today, I have Lucinda Caron, who is a sound healing practitioner and the founder of Earth Mother Sound Healing. And talking about making changes and finding yourself when, you know, and it's always good and a good time to do that. I met Lucinda in a little bit of a different career as you were kind of making this transition into becoming the certified, or you tell us whatever that is, you know, as a sound healer. So welcome. Sorry, I'm a little scattered today. Hopefully Lucinda is going to do a sound healing for us, and hopefully that's going to let me get a little more grounded and aligned and centered, because apparently I'm a little flighty at the moment. So Lucinda, welcome. Thank you for being on the show. Tell us a little bit about I'm always interested in how it was for people growing up, because I figure most of the people that I'm talking to tend to be, you know, highly sensitive people or empaths, or, you know, already have some sense of wanting to be a healer or be of service. And I think we notice that early sometimes, but we don't know what to do with it, or we're not very well received. And so I'm always curious, you know, what being a kid or teenager was like for you. And how you got to where you are now.
Sure. Okay. So thank you first off for having me. It's a real honor and pleasure to be here. It's lovely to connect. So growing up, I think, I've always been very, very sensitive to my environment on every level, including people, emotions, etc., but also the natural environment. I've always been a very keen observer of what's going on around me, and sort of almost picking things before there's a problem and trying to get in there and do something to fix them. So, especially in my teens, I got into aromatherapy. So back in the 80s. So, you know, I used to just make remedies for people and just drop them off at their place, or turn up at work and hand somebody something, or that kind of thing. So always been that way inclined. I guess my journey to sound healing has been a little bit convoluted. My first career was actually as a teacher, a childhood teacher. I then moved into Chinese medicine. So again, keeping the healing theme going, but always being of service. And then due to my own health journey, moved into doing indoor environmental health consulting. So checking out what's in our environment that impacts health. And again, working with people who are very, very sensitive. And it was in my Chinese medicine training, somebody said something once right at the beginning that you can use tuning forks with Chinese medicine. I was like, what? Really? Tell me. I want to know. Like, my ears just pricked up. It's like, I want to know all about it. And they just said, look later. We'll get to it later. And I finished the qualification. There was no mention ever again. Mm-hmm. So the moment I saw it come up, I was like, that's it. That's me. And I jumped straight on in. And the moment I walked in, the moment that class started, I knew I had to continue this journey, not knowing quite how it would fit, where it would go, how it would work with what I was doing. And I just went with, because I knew I needed to, was that trust, that guidance. So
right. I, 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 that you noticed, you know, the first time it was mentioned, that something kind of went off in your brain or just pulled you, and that you held on to that and followed it. And I think, you know, for people who are searching, there's clues. There are clues. There are breadcrumbs, you know, and we have to be present enough to pay attention to them and then give them some credence, right? Not just like, you know, write it off as some coincidence or quirk or whatever, that there's a reason that you heard that, and that when you heard that, your ears perked up and that you found yourself wanting to pursue it and then felt, I would say, sort of at home with it once you stepped into it. So I encourage everybody to pay attention to what's going on. Pay attention to what you feel magnetized toward.
I agree. No, the other part of that too is just having the courage to change. Do whatever comes, like just go if it feels right, do it.
Right. And I apologize that I didn't read the part I was supposed to read. That I actually asked you to provide for me to say that particularly you work with people who are facing change and help them to reconnect to their inner knowing so they can move through that phase with ease and grace, which is what we were just talking about. And clearly, you know what you're doing. So great. You're a good help to help people transition, right?
Thank you. Yeah, I think it's so important. I think when I was little, like people got a job. So, you know, you might get a job as a bank teller and you move up the ranks and then you, you know, be carried out really of the bank as having been the manager. Like you just stick with one thing your whole life.
Right.
I don't feel a lot of us that we really can. And I know I felt very uncomfortable when I was young because I didn't want to keep doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
I knew I something different, and I think it does take courage to do that. And we should, because it brings so much more joy.
Right. And I mean, I think some people are sort of wired for, they want to do something and just stick with it and, you know, focus, either because they like the routine or they want to, you know, tunnel and drill down and get even better at that. And some of us are wired to, you know, kind of flit around, or I don't mean flit in a negative way, but to, you know, we're drawn to different things. We something lights us up, something that we want to pursue, and then it's time to drop it and move to something else. I felt for years like, you know, people look at that pretty negatively, like the, you know, the term jack of all trades and a master of none, right? And I decided that I'm a master of all trades. No, I'm a jack of all trades and a master of some. Some things stuck more. I got better at some. And then others, I still wanted to learn something about. I wanted to be able to share something about, but not to go in and become, you know, the PhD of energy healing or whatever. And I found in the last 5 years or so, different people who are actually embracing that and looking at it as a benefit, you know, as a resource for other people even, that we, there's one woman who did a TED talk and she talks about multi-potentialites. You know, and I've heard people call themselves like Da Vinci Divas, or Barbara Sher, who was a prolific author, talked about, coined the word scanners for those of us in different ways. We're not all the same in that either, but where we, you know, we do tend to move from one thing to another and maybe pick it up again and go here and there, that we're just not wired for that, you know, straight line down the tunnel. So, you know, welcome fellow flitter diva. Boy, I need that new healing. Yeah. Okay.
So to be amongst like-minded people, you know, I think that whole thing of feeling strange and uncomfortable by being that way. But I think it's true for many. I found particularly sensitive people that you do have a broad range of interests and a lot of things excite you. Mm-hmm. And to learn more about these things. So
right.
Yeah, for some it's totally natural to just to go anything or something.
Mm-hmm. Right. Great. Do you want to talk some more about what, you know, tell us maybe what sound healing is, or what the, you know, I imagine there's different schools and approaches, you know, so the what you learned or what you bring to this, you know, what is that about? And then sort of segue into doing some sound healing for us.
Absolutely, thank you. And actually, just before I do get into what sound healing is, when I do the sound healing, it's really helpful to have headphones on or earphones. So if you didn't get yours ready before the interview, please grab some now. And yeah, be ready, because otherwise we can listen to the replay. I can't speak now. Listen to the replay and have the headphones in and get that really extra benefit from it. So sound healing, I think, oddly enough, fits in beautifully to what I was doing primarily, which was the Indo-Environmental Health Consulting, whereby it's a lot about frequency. So everything has got frequency. Everything's vibrating at its own frequency. Some things we're sensitive to, some things are healing, some things are detrimental. So that to me was a really big sort of, I can't think of the right word, dovetail into what I was doing. Mm-hmm. It made sense to continue with it. Sound healing is a modality that really I see as the alchemy between ancient wisdoms, modern science, art, musicality, and healing. And so it's bringing all these things together, and I think a good dose of intuition comes into it as well, so being sort of guided by what the person that you're working with needs. So I can work with people individually, and I can work with groups. And working with people individually allows me to actually sort of get in deeper with that individual. We work out an intention together for what we're going to be working on. I incorporate that as well as the energy assessment that I do, and then team that all up with the knowledge that I've got of the modality. So using lots of different instruments. So I've got my drums over here. I've got a shruti here. Tibetan bowls, I've got all of me because I've got some ready to use for our session. There's the crystal singing bowls, which I'm sure you may have seen before. I've got chimes and the gong. I've got all sorts of bits and pieces around, and they're all fantastic to be using. They've all got different frequencies, so again, working with different things. An analogy that works, I think, really well to understand what we're doing is because the concept is in training. So it's like you've got an orchestra that's playing, and one of the instruments drops their sheet music. Sorry, one of the instruments, one of the musicians drops their sheet music, and then, you know, they're trying to keep up, and they sort of end up getting muddled, and that kind of spreads throughout the orchestra, and suddenly everything's pretty horrific. And it's doing this, having sound healing, it's almost like somebody races over, puts the sheet music back on the stand, points to exactly where they're at. And then go straight back into, and then again, that spreads out as bringing everything back into sync. So it's like life knocks us out of whack, and sound healing comes back into, you know, into our being.
I love that example. Great. Yeah. So, and just for people maybe not familiar with it, entraining, entraining, not in training, like we're not in training, we're entraining, kind of bringing, coming into harmony and alignment and sort of following. Yeah, so great. Wonderful. Is there anything else you want to say to prepare us for what you're about to do, or shall we just...
I think we should dive straight in. Okay. I just did want to add to that this can be used for so many things. One of the biggest things that it does is trigger the relaxation response, which I see as incredibly healing. So there's a whole big explanation I could give you if you want that, but it's, you know, that relaxation response is so important. And I think for me, what I feel really drawn to with this work is working with people going through change, helping to reconnect to that, you know, because I think we can get so overwhelmed, so stressed, our minds could just be racing with all possibilities and what ifs and all of that. This is just really useful for bringing us back to our inner knowing, where we do really already know.
Right.
And it's so powerful.
That's great. One other question. If people are driving or operating machinery, can they still listen to this for now?
Better not to. Yeah, better not.
Okay.
So maybe pop for the replay if you are driving operating machinery. Good point.
Yeah, because, you know, like we always have to say that, right? With that caveat, go for it. Thanks.
Thank you. All right. So I'd like to invite everybody now just to sit or lay down comfortably. If you can, put an eye pillow or an eye covering on, certainly close your eyes. And just really get still and centered in your space. Focus on your breathing, noticing the rise and fall of your chest. Throughout our mini session here, I'm going to be providing sounds and silences, and the silences are an opportunity to really relax, to focus in on the sounds and what you are noticing, so you might get visions or sensations from that. So just, you can bring your mind to that. The focus for our session today is I am relaxed and refreshed. So you can always bring your mind back to that as well. So getting comfortable and just really, really relaxed. Take a big deep breath in. And as you breathe out, let out a sigh. We'll do that again. And just breathing normally.
Thank you.
very gently start to bring your awareness back to your body, back to the room. Notice your breath. Gently wriggle your fingers and toes. Swirl your wrists and ankles one way and then the other. If you'd like to have a big stretch, feel free to bring your arms up over your head and have that lovely big stretch. And then rub your hands together to create some beautiful warmth. And place them over your eyes, deepening into them. And then slowly bringing your hands down away from you, keeping your eyes on your palms the whole time. And when you're ready to, you can sit back up and rejoin us.
That was lovely. And I'm certainly operating at a different speed than I was before you started this. Thank you for that.
Welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had thought about this, I would have done this at the end of the show so people could just float off. And I suppose if you're in that zone and you want to float off, go ahead and then catch the replay to, you know, as we finish up a little bit. Yeah. I noticed during that, just kept getting more relaxed and peaceful, not drowsy, just calm and slower. And it was almost impossible to think, to have that sort of busy mind chatter. There was almost none of that going on, which there usually frequently is, you know. So it felt, my attention was so focused on the sounds and sort of receiving them, that it pushed out, there was no room maybe for that monkey mind chatter. And that alone is invaluable to be able to have some time and space like that. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing. It's certainly very quiet, isn't it? Like you drop back into your center and just really, you feel unquiet. And it's that whole thing of being totally relaxed, but still mentally alert and bright.
Right.
And you're not dressed. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. When I do energy healing, energy work sessions with people, for the most part, I kind of drop into this place where I feel like I'm being guided. You know, so if I'm moving my hands or doing something, it's like my guides, your guides, you're coming through and sort of, right, they're coming through me. It's not me doing it. And that is what determines a lot of, you know, what exactly I'm doing or even what I'm seeing sometimes or any intentions. So I'm wondering if that's similar or what it's like for you when you're, you know, playing these, you have so many different instruments and so many possibilities within each one. How do you determine what you're doing and what to do next and, you know, go through that?
It's definitely a mix of a lot of things. I feel like it's just I'm a facilitator.
Mm-hmm.
I make some decisions, but a lot of it is just what comes through. So there is a lot of science and research behind techniques and certain combinations of sounds and things like that. And that will always come in. So that's where, especially if I'm working with an individual, I know what their intention is. I've done the energy assessment, so I know what I'm working with.
Mm-hmm.
Practice is just, yeah, something that I'm just creating for that purpose of deep relaxation and feeling refreshed. So yes, that was definitely what came through. Mm-hmm. And yes, I just do feel like I facilitate, like it's, because of it triggers the relaxation response, it actually, in my opinion, really supports your body to heal and do what it would normally and should do by itself. So that's that coming back to the entraining principle.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, like it's not me healing you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just facilitating what your body needs in this moment. what your body, your soul, your being, what you need mm-hmm. in this environment for your own healing.
Yeah, great. Wow. Well, that just for me was very powerful. So I can hardly imagine, you know, that if you had done an assessment on me and were really creating that specifically for me and my energies and my needs, I can hardly imagine how amazing that would be. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
Very powerful. I think one of the things I like about it too is it's not a big talk, and so you don't have to rehash, relive, and I call it resuffer stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, you get releases without having to identify them, without having to intellectualize them or make it academic. They're just gone.
Right.
You notice stuff, and it's like, cool, something's gone. That was big.
Right. That's great. Right. And you don't even need to then try to define what it is that's gone. You know, I'm a big fan of just releasing where possible. Yeah, good. Wow, I'm so relaxed. I know I had something to ask you. So what does, you mentioned, you know, an assessment. What does like working with somebody look like? Do you do sort of multiple sessions, or does somebody come and just, you know, have one, you know, sound bath, or, you know, what does it look like, or some ways it looks like, right?
A couple of different ways. So I do run group sessions where basically it's an extended version of what we did, along with a really sort of big visualization to set the scene for the session. So that's one way, and that's online. I do individual sessions, one-on-one in person or online, and at the moment restrictions, everything's online, so all good. It is very beneficial to have a series of sessions rather than a one-off. I think moving through, building on the sort of progress each week or each fortnight or every second week, I think you guys call it, we call it fortnight, so every second week, can work really, really powerfully. And I've had some witnessed some significant changes with my clients mm-hmm. who've had the series, you know, especially week after week. And we can sort of build up what we're doing and sort of allow for bigger releases as, you know, the person becomes more comfortable with the modality. So there certainly is the option for one off if people want to do that, and certainly, you know, giving a go for the first time, getting a feel of whether this is something you like or not. And I have had comments from people who've been to sound baths. It's like a group session where it's very big and loud and confronting, almost scary. Someone said to me, it felt like they were trying to frighten something out of me, whereas I tend to be very, very gentle. So mm-hmm. I feel that the subtle is much more powerful mm-hmm. And long-lasting than, you know, big and booming.
Right.
So, yeah, the other thing I am working on at the moment, and it's a bit exciting, I haven't talked to anybody about it except for you just before the call. So I'm actually working on a program for people who are going through change, particularly career change, but it can be any sort of change, because I think this is that time in life where you get so freaked out. I mean, there's so many possibilities. You get stressed, you self-doubt, you question everything, and it's sort of like this really difficult time. And we do know times of change are incredibly stressful, like moving house, losing a loved one, changing career. All those are incredibly stressful. So even that alone, apart from what's going on inside our minds and our hearts, with just all those other things. So working with people individually, so there'll be an individual session and a coaching session. So individual session 1 week, coaching session the next, and we'll alternate each month. So there's two of each. There'll be group sessions, and then I'm also going to have what I'm at this stage calling a campfire. So everyone who's working with me in that way will come together and we'll have a campfire session. So we'll, you know, work together and build that group dynamic as well. So that's coming. That's about a month off.
That's great. And, you know, I think maybe people have been listening to me for a while. I've heard me say that, you know, when one of us sort of lightens our load and shifts something, it shifts for everybody. You know, so that's great that you're making such change, helping, facilitating so much change for people who are going through change. And this is an incredible time of upheaval on top of what just would normally be going through changes, right? But it's like every person who is uplifted or aligned or sort of quieted down in their energy, it it is magnified and ripples out. So I certainly believe that that's one way to, you know, facilitate world change as well. You know, doing it one person or one group at a time. That's great.
Thank you.
I read some while ago about various herbs to burn, like in a home, that, you know, now people, we do it because we're being spiritual or it's part of a ritual or something, but that actually, in addition to that, the Native Americans here at least knew a number of different herbs to burn that would actually change the environment, you know, would be likely to kill bacteria, you know, or sort of disinfect the space. Like, I don't remember what, you know, commonly we know like sage and sweetgrass and that kind of thing, but there were a variety of different ones. Anyway, so where I'm going with this is that that was kind of news to me. You know, I mean, I knew it could change the energy, feel different, you know, but that there was this quantifiable, eventually somebody tried to quantify it, right? That something more tangible, I guess, was happening. And so I'm wondering, you know, is there a parallel for that with sound and, you know, frequencies and whatever, you know, are some of these sounds actually changing, literally changing our, you know, the air around us?
So. Yeah, well, I don't know about research specifically on that. And I think it's probably a little bit of a difficult concept. So frequency will travel through the air and it is obviously then changing it as it moves. I mean, it, you know, I'm making a sound here, the microphone is far away, it will come through. So that's traveling through air to get there. So in essence, I guess it is changing things in the air around us. It's an interesting one. I think from what I understand with all of this is it works in at a cellular level on us.
Mm-hmm.
And deep inside of us affects what's around us, our biofields and our environment. Yeah. Likewise, what's changed in our biofields and around us will affect us internally. I know with feng shui, they talk about if you've got like a messy desk or a messy home, then your mind tends to be, you know, messy as well. Like it's not sort of like quiet and well, it's more like that monkey chatter that you were talking about. So
yeah.
I think likewise with that, but it's sound rather than the physical
mm-hmm.
observable environment. Yeah, definitely.
All right, great. I think we've about come to the end of our time. I want to thank you so much. And just so this, your program sounds wonderful. And we were talking before that, you know, you're just in the beginnings of formulating that or putting that together. So how will we get in touch with you? And when, you know, are you thinking you're going to have this together maybe in a month or 3 months or next year? Or, you know, what do you have a sense of when you're going to be launching this program?
So I'm planning to have it ready within a month.
Okay.
So my month, like, would be my outside deadline. I'll certainly be talking about it in the lead up to that. But I'm just in the process of finalizing the outline of what I'm doing and then putting everything into place. So I would be by the end, it's what, mid-September, so mid-October,
mm-hmm.
it'll be up and ready. So that would be great. So keeping in touch, I think one of the nicest ways to keep in touch is in the Facebook group. So it's just a basic group because I've just started with my sound healing. So feel free to come and join us. The link, so I always have very long URLs, so I tried to make it short. So instead of Earth Mama Sound Healing, I did EM Sound Healing. emsoundhealing.com/Facebook will take you to our group.
Okay.
So that would be the best way. You know, I'll be certainly informing the group. I do have a page as well, but it's in the group. We'll be doing some really special things that won't be out there on the page. It's just the group. So worth coming along for that too.
Yeah, great. And for my listeners and now sometimes viewers, in the Not Too Late Show Facebook group, each episode that I have with somebody, they get sort of their own guide or thread. And I'll be putting your different links and putting up the replay to this recording when I have that. And, you know, it's also a place that you can reach out and contact, talk to me or talk to Lucinda, or I can help direct you to her if you've lost the emsoundhealing.com/Facebook link. Did I get that right? It was good that you shortened it. Anyway, thank you so much, you know, for being here, for sharing all your knowledge and experience, and absolutely for sharing all the sound. I still feel very chill compared to where I came in, you know. And hopefully for anybody, you know, if you were distracted, if something else was going on while Lucinda was playing this, once I get the replay up, definitely, you know, go back, listen again, listen as many times as you want. So thank you for that. I will just announce briefly that October 6th, I just set the date. I'll be doing my next spoon bending workshop. And these are pretty awesome 90-minute live Zoom get-togethers where I talk people through what you need to be thinking or not thinking or letting go of or shifting in order to take a stainless steel spoon or fork that you cannot bend with your physical strength. And then through going through this process and kind of refocusing, most people, most of the time, can bend that spoon in half. So I hope that you'll stay tuned in the Not Too Late Show Facebook group for the announcements, and come join me on October 6th. I believe that's Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific time. So for you, that would be Thursday, for those of you on the other side of things. And there's so many ways, you know, to empower yourself and improve and increase your health and your well-being. And it's pretty odd, but bending a spoon is actually also one of them. And if you come to the workshop, I'll explain why that's true. So, all right. Thank you again. Thank you, Lucinda. Thank you, everyone, for listening, watching, and we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
So long.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.